Shocker, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, great. It's McDavid Day. Oiler fans are excited to see number 97 back in the lineup. But before we get to 97, we should be talking about the debut, and it's really gone overlooked by a lot of people, is the debut of number 27, Adam Clendenning.
Yes.
But can you tell us about
him? Definitely underhyped compared to the other guy. Yeah, I had a little chat with him today, and nothing on camera really or whatever, but I think he's looking forward to this as a fresh opportunity and an opportunity to maybe, grab some playing time. And that's what all these guys want, right? They want a chance to prove they belong in the league full time. They all believe they do, and they want a chance to prove themselves. So it'll be a good chance for him to do that tonight. To be opportunistic here. There are guys in the Oiler lineup that have been in and out and up and down and all over the map. And if a guy can come in and show a decent level of play and any modicum of consistency, that'll earn you almost a full-time spot on this team.
He's going to get some power play time tonight. And now he's a guy who's been an offensive defenseman, so I don't think it's, something that he should feel that uncomfortable with. If anything, maybe he's going to feel more comfortable because, A, he'll get power play time. And, Shocker, the Columbus Blue Jackets have been the least disciplined team on the road by a mile in the National Hockey League. They have 117 shorthanded situations on the road in 27 games, the most. That's 20 more than anybody else. The Oilers, comparatively, have had 75 in 26 games. So that's 42 more power plays against for Columbus. The Oilers got to try to take advantage of that tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, playing physical. And I don't watch enough Blue Jackets hockey to know if that's on discipline penalties, if that's getting goaded into stuff. I don't know if that's just bad, nothing but bad decision after bad decision. But for sure, you see a weakness like that, you jump on it. So, get on them, play the body, get into the crease. If you can get guys to be a little agitated, that's a good opportunity for a guy like Cassian to try and see if he can't stir some stuff up and get them to be undisciplined, for sure. Now, their other debut will also be John Tortorella, not a debut, but the return. So Torts will be behind the bench again and laying down the law. So maybe his players will be on a little bit better behavior, although he admitted today that he can't yell because of his busted ribs. So the players will maybe be able to get away with a little bit more and not have to take the tongue lashing.
Maybe he'll be a better coach he's not constantly yelling.
I was just thinking, so maybe he'll coach better. He actually will talk to his players instead of just screaming at them.
Instead of just screaming at them nonstop. Hey, well, it was interesting. He talked the other day about how he screwed up with Brandon Saad a little bit when he first got to town and how he, I don't know if you guys saw the quotes, basically just said, I didn't use him on the penalty kill at all. I didn't realize, that he could be effective there and that by taking those minutes away, you end up sitting him on the bench for the penalty kill, then sitting him on the bench for another minute while you try and get your lines back together, and that Brandon's a player who needs more pace and more consistency in his ice time, and sort of admitted that he screwed up, that he, he'll get him on the penalty kill and keep him more engaged in the game, and that was a mistake he made. Don't know if there's an admission there on Ryan Johansson or not, maybe somewhere to be had, don't know. But he did admit that mistake, which I thought was kind of interesting to hear him say.
Yeah, I'm still perplexed by that. That was the guy they decided was the only, good coach out there for the job. I didn't love the hiring when they hired him in Columbus.
Yeah.
And I just think John Tortorella's time, really. Like, when was the last time he had a successful season?
Been a while.
Oh, you got to go back a ways. And it kind of reeks a little bit of desperation in the GM chair, right? I mean, I think it was you're just overhandling the puck and you're overthinking it when you're handing him a long-term deal. And I think Mike Gillis did the exact same thing in Vancouver. Overthought it, overhandled the puck a little bit. Like, there's lots of good, easy, simple decisions. But when you're feeling like the world's crashing in on you, you go for the home run hit. And that's kind of maybe what Yarmo's done a little bit here. It's definitely what Gillis did there. Tortorella, I mean, he had success earlier on in his career, but it has been a while. And it's just hiring John Tortorella to be your head coach without promise of massive, significant changes in his demeanor and approach with players would seem to me to be out of touch and out of tune with today's athlete and how to be successful with today's athlete.
Well, I guess he did have success with the Rangers. Actually, made his second round.
Yeah,
twice,
no, so. He did. But he had a good team, and you know, like, I still will stand to what I just said, which is thinking that a coach that kind of rolls the way Tortorella does, unless he got into those meetings and said, I do know what I did wrong in the past, and this is the coach I am going to be, and these are the changes I do want to make. It just seems a little out of touch to think that head coach is going to do well with you know, a young up-and-coming team. I just don't know how athletes react to that stuff anymore. I don't know, Matt, you've been around those younger guys coming into the league. Like, I just don't see most young high-end guys reacting well to that.
I don't either. And I think what even with, you know, with him before and with Gillis is in both situations, you have a coach that's, and I played for Todd Richards, so I can attest to this, a coach that's very much a player-centered coach. If you were, you know, to have on the spectrum of Tortorella being a very hard coach to play for, you know, a Vino or Todd Richards is a much easier coach to play for in terms of they're not going to yell at you, they're not going to scream at you, and all this stuff. So the management, I think, pushes back against that by saying, you know, you're not going to play for a guy who maybe babies you a little bit, so we're going to bring in someone who is going to do the exact opposite of babying you. And it surprised me, too, because I think, and you know, we talk about how there are some players that maybe love Tortorella, and I think they're in the minority, where majority of players really have a hard time playing for him. So it is very surprising that they would do it, and it is very surprising the length of term that they'd do it. Like you said, I can't see any situation of them bringing him in unless he did sit down with them before and talk about how, you know, I realize this, I've been doing this, I did this before, I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm going to operate this way now, and we're going to move forward.
Well, Mark Crawford was kind of a little bit of a similar situation, right? Like, before that lockout, I mean, he was with Vancouver, and people felt like, I mean, that lockout probably saved him his job. If they come back, I don't think they come back with him in that position, but that extra time off, and he came back talking about being different and making changes. And I spoke with players who got phone calls from Mark Crawford during that time when it was game on again, that, you know, things are going to be different. And, you know, Mark Crawford has had a hard time staying in the league and being an NHL coach anymore because maybe he didn't change as much as he perhaps needed to for that to make sense. And I understand what you're saying, but how about some middle ground? Like, you don't have to bring in a pushover, but how about a guy who can strike a balance and relate to the modern day player and bring the whip when he has to? I mean, we saw Todd McClellan shun Taylor Hall to the far end of the bench mid game, right? So a guy that knows he can crack the whip when he has to, but you know, up to that point, I mean, Todd McClellan has had Taylor's back pretty much start to finish. So what about a guy that has that touch both ways? And that's why I guess maybe, you know, guys who have the ability to relate and handle players properly, those are so valuable, because with today's athlete, they're such a huge part of the organization, so important. And to be on the wrong side of these guys, but yet how do you not coddle them, right? So, I mean, hiring a guy that you know is just going to be a bull in a china shop, I mean, look, how long, and suddenly Ryan Johansson's shipped out of town. Their number one center is gone. People can say, you know, whether it was Tortorella or not or whatever, there's some question as to that, but it was pretty clear that there was some tensions there and that, you know, Tort showing up. I don't know if, I don't know who else was available at the time, but if Ralph Kruger's the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets right now, I'm pretty sure Ryan Johansson's still there.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Let's get to McDavid, Jordan Eberle. Yeah. I don't think that's a surprise for most people. There are still a few of the Yak supporters who think it's unfair that Eberle's there and not Nail Yakupov. But I think, you know, if all things were even at the start of the season, you knew that McDavid was going to play with either one of Eberle or Hall.
Yeah, and unfair isn't really the right word because, I mean, it's really about what should Todd be doing. Tactically, what's the right move? What gives him the best chance, right, for all different facets of his lineup? And there's a bunch of different ways you can go at it. Nail didn't earn the spot, flat out. I mean, Nail's done nothing since he's returned from injury without Connor. So he's not banging down the door for more opportunity. If anything, it's gone the other way. So I get it on that standpoint alone, never mind any other circumstances, Nail hasn't earned it. 4 points in 15 games with Connor not there, not acceptable, and he hasn't earned the spot. So then you start factoring in everything else. And by the way, I will fully admit, I think it might have been before Nugent Hopkins got hurt, but I was saying I'd just throw him right back with Yakupov because it's been working. So I'm kind of, you know, before I was one of the ones suggesting that should be the case. But as you look at it now, Nail not having done anything at all to earn that position, along with Jordan Eberle being back and healthy. And I think there's a couple of things here, guys. One, they need to see what McDavid and Eberle can do together. I mean, there's a chance Jordan Eberle gets traded this offseason. There really is. And to trade Jordan Eberle without giving him a prolonged look with Connor McDavid would be crazy. I mean, that might be the magical potion that they're hoping they can find. Nail was good with him. Eberle might be incredible with him. So they need to give that a look and see. Because this offseason could well be the offseason where the Eberle shoe drops and he's shipped out of town. Could be Nugent Hopkins too. We wait and see. They have to get a look at that before they consider moving Jordan Eberle, because there will be deals for defensemen involving Eberle. They need to have all of those boxes ticked. And then the other thing is, they're going to get a real good look at what their lineup looks like without Ryan Nugent Hopkins. They're going to get and it's an unwanted look, but they're going to get a look at a 1-2 center punch of McDavid Draisaitl. McDavid coming over the boards first, Draisaitl following him up. How does life look without Ryan Nugent Hopkins in town? They'll get a month-long look at that here.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see on the home ice matchups between McDavid and Draisaitl. I think with Hall and Draisaitl, the way they're playing, obviously, you know what, I think McDavid, you're going to try as best as you can to get the softer matchups, let him ease his way back in early on. And then
sure,
he might demand things later on from the opposing coaches, but it'll be definitely interesting to see. Schauder, we will see you down at the rink tonight. Enjoy the game.
Okay, guys. You too. Talk to you soon.